Hey everybody, this is Pete Ziuk of Iron Savior speaking, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives.
This is Michael, the Metal Angel, otherwise known as Metal Milieu, contributing writer for Sonic Perspectives, and I'm speaking to the one and only Pete Ziel from Iron Savior, also Halloween, also Gamma Ray, also several other bands. This is, I think, our fourth time doing, I think we've done Skype every time, always talking about how awesome your albums are and how awesome your music has been for all the years, you know, writing with Kai Hansen and all the good stuff you've done over the years. Because, yeah, you were in Gamma Ray for a little while or vice versa.
Okay, yeah, great. Thanks. So, thanks. Everything is said by now. Bye-bye. No, just kidding.
Yeah, and I'm mucking it up big time because I'm, like, trying to think of, like, Iron Fist and all the bands you were in before, even Halloween and Gamma Ray and all that. Anyway, yeah, moving on. So we're here to talk about the brand-new album by Iron Savior, which is called Kill or Get Killed, right?
Yeah, right. Kill or Get Killed it is.
And it comes out, I believe, tomorrow in the U.S., March 22nd.
Yeah, I guess so. It's been out here in Europe as well already, also in Japan. And so U.S. is the last territory to where it hasn't been released yet.
Right, right. And is there supposed to be like a bonus track? I know there's a bonus track for Japan, but is there like a bonus track for the U.S. of an AC/DC cover?
Well, actually, there's no bonus because there's no limited edition it's just the album. We didn't do a limited edition this time,
right
so it's just the album, and the album contains a cover version of Sin City by AC/DC. That's true.
Okay, yeah, the digital download version that AFM offered didn't have that track, so oh my dog just jumped on my lap. So needless to say, I wasn't sure if that was a bonus track or if it was a limited edition US Japanese. I didn't know what it was, but hopefully it'll be on the CD that get in the US. So
well, I mean, the Japanese people, they got a nice cover of Run to You by Bryan Adams, but I thought that's good for Japan, and yeah,
wait a minute,
must not necessarily be in Europe or US.
You did a Bryan Adams cover for the Japanese version?
Yeah, I did that. I listened to it a couple of months ago. It was played on the radio, and I said, well, I mean, I'm not a big Bryan Adams fan, but I think he's kind of a cool guy, and he has his moments. And I thought, well, Run to You is for something I could sing, and maybe it's a good idea to do that for Japan. And so it happened.
That's awesome. I don't think I've ever heard any metal band cover Bryan Adams. And Bryan Adams is awesome Canadian rock. So, yeah, I'm looking forward. I'll have to go on YouTube to hear that, I'm sure. But that's
probably out on YouTube pretty soon, I guess.
Yeah. No, Run to You. The song just is playing in my head. He does Bryan Adams' Run to You on the Japanese version. You always do great covers, period. I mean, whether you're doing pop songs or whether you're doing metal songs or whether you're just doing classic metal songs like Iron Maiden or Judas Priest, you know, you always do great covers. Of course, my favorite cover you ever did was Phantoms of Death by Halloween, which I know you played a part in, you know, writing in the first place.
So it's not exactly a cover. It's just a recording a song I wrote.
Right. That you and Kai kind of sat down and listened to some Van Halen, Judas Priest, and decided to write one of the best power thrash songs of all time.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty much it. The riff you're talking about of Phantoms of Death. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's, yeah. Still my favorite Halloween song to this day. I've told that to Kai, too. It's just like Phantoms of Death. I mean, the lyrics are great, but the riff is just like...
Well, it's pretty much like, you better call me a doctor, and you don't have to be old to be wise.
Yeah, you don't have to be old to be wise, right. Yeah, that's just amazing to take that Judas Priest song and that Van Halen song and create, you know, there are phantoms here on earth to take away our lives, you know, it's just phantoms of death. Oh, man, that's incredible. But, you know, you've done some great Judas, I mean, I know you're a huge Judas Priest fan anyway, so you've done some great Judas Priest covers, and just... pretty much, I'm sure, all your heroes of metal in general. But I always like it when you branch out and do something completely different, like on the Code Red album when you did the more pop-oriented kind of song. And, you know, now you're saying Bryan Adams. Like, oh, man, now I want to hear that song. So anyway, so last week, I think I had a really rough day or something. Like, I don't know what it was, but I saw an email that said you guys had just done a video for Stand Up and Fight. And I was like, oh, cool. Another Iron Savior video. This should be great. Cause you know, I don't really get into lyric videos because if I just get the music and stuff. But when I saw how simple yet how profound that video was of you, and I guess it's your guitarist, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a guitar.
Driving. And yeah. Just...
Unfortunately, the rest of us was not available on this day. It had to be done on this very day. And of course, otherwise they would have been in the car as well. But I think the two of us are doing a pretty good job as well. I really love this one. it's so much more us, you know, than this the last one. I think the Kill or Get Killed video is also kind of cool. I really like this the reading part. It's my favorite one of this one. But the one for the last album, for Way of the Blade, that was something we never felt comfortable with. And, you know, videos like this, Stand Up and Fight, or the old Burning Heart video, this is much more what Iron Savior is all about. And so, yeah, great video and zero costs.
Wait a minute! Did you get it all on the first take? I mean, I know your lip
sync. Yeah, it's a one. That was the basic idea. It's a one take. There's no cut in there. This is one scene that runs through.
That's so awesome!
And just all I did is adding later on the iMovie. I just added the audio, you know, from the recording. That's all.
So you just sat in the car and lip synced all the lyrics to Stand Up and Fight, and imitated with the fist in the air with the chorus Stand Up and Fight.
And yeah,
of course, I was laughing my tail, and then I guess Joachim basically brought his inflatable air guitar.
Cool idea,
because, yeah, to do the solos. How brilliant! And you said no cost. I mean, some people could probably say, "Oh, that's so simple," or "That's so basic." I just saw Anvil the other day, and Lips was saying people think the video for Bitch in the Box is just so lame because it's just them on the road getting lost and they didn't spend any money on the video. But it's like, but it's a true story. And, you know, his wife came up with the title for the song anyway. But I mean, just to see you guys just sitting in a car and just stand up and fight, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly the plan, you know.
Was the car parked and they just had a camera on you, or were you literally driving around?
No, we were actually, no, it was my iPhone. Which was running, turn on the song on the stereo. And when we were driving around, we were driving through Hamburg, you know.
Right.
And, and we do our little performance and then the video ends.
But keep it simple. I mean, it's simple, but it's still funny. It's just, there's something about it that there's just a subtle sense of humor to it. Not just the blown up air guitar solo, which just had me in tears, but just the whole simplicity of it, I think, is just, it's like, this is a really clever idea. Why haven't bands thought of, you know, because anymore, it's like, even some of these lyric videos you see of these bands, it's like, they must have spent like thousands of dollars, for the animation and all the special effects and all the graphic effects. And it's just like, you know, and then they have spelling errors, which they don't even catch. And it's like, that's not how you spell that word. And they're American bands. So it's a shame that you know, I understand the European bands might have a spelling error, but when American band can't spell certain words, it's pretty bad. I won't mention what name, but I did see a band recently and I'm like, there's only one Z in Wizard, not two. But anyway, all right. So moving on. So this album, it seems like for a while, Iron Savior's always had very conceptually based albums and very like thematic albums. It seems like this album is just all individual songs. Is that the case?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's like a little bit like on Titancraft and also on other outputs. I think only the very first four albums are really complete concept albums where basically every song is connected to the story of the album. Kill or Get Killed has like, if I'm not mistaken, four songs who are dealing with this idea of Kill or Get Killed. And the rest of the material is, or the lyric is just, well, maybe sci-fi influence, but has nothing to do with the main story. And there are also a lot of stuff on there, like from Dust and Rubble, or let's say, for example, Dust and Rubble has nothing to do with science fiction at all. So it's basically a combination of things that matter to me, things that move me, and of course science fiction is one of my interests and moves me, so there is science fiction on there. But life is not only a sci-fi series.
Right. Well, and as usual, almost with every Iron Savior album, as well as with so many other great power metal bands, very uplifting lyrics. I think of a song like Never Stop Believing, or Heroes Ascending, or even Stand Up and Fight. You know, they just really just powerful, you know, thought-provoking, seize the day type lyrics. You're right, that was on Titancraft as well. It seems like you write with like a joyful aspect, or what's the word I want to look for? Like the glass is always half full.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very, very well said. I'm not a total optimist, you know, but I always prefer to look on the light side of life than on the dark side, you know. And that always influences the way I write lyrics. And of course, if you look into my lyrics, I also know about the dark side. I've experienced the dark side quite a lot, but still, I really like to look forward and see the good in life rather than the bad.
That's awesome. So you've risen above the circumstances. You've stared like the death in its face, and you know, been the champion. That's very noble and very admirable to be able to have done that. And yeah, I think even in, like you say, first four albums, like especially with Unification stuff, I think even the Dark Assault, I think there's a sense of that. You know, you're kind of showing a little bit of, you know, the dark side, but kind of hiding it through science fiction and storytelling and everything like that, which is good. Because that's all the good science fiction stuff works.
That's right. Most of the time I use pictures to describe what I feel or what moves me, and it's not, most of the time I don't put it like straightforward out. You know, sometimes I do that, but most of the time I don't. And so it's always a good idea to look at my lyrics. And maybe if you know me as a person, then some things may. Some bells may ring here and there for you, and if not, it doesn't matter, because in the end, it's the music and the whole thing together what counts, you know.
And you're just such a great songwriter, and I guess now you've pretty much had, with the exception of with your new drummer, you've pretty much had a solid lineup for almost, 20 years now?
I mean, Iron Savior has been really stable in terms of lineup. Of course, this change with Thomas it was something that was kind of due, because Thomas started to have less and less time for Iron Savior, or even some years ago, because he started playing for a musical production here in Hamburg, because he really lives 100% on his music. And therefore, of course, making money, especially if you have a family, is quite an important thing. And so he felt that the time and the energy, his professional jobs were demanding from him, weren't leaving enough room for Iron Savior anymore. And so this was a development that didn't came all of a sudden. All of us saw it kind of like coming. And in the end, it was for the good of Iron Savior, also for Thomas himself. And I think with Patrick as a replacement for Thomas, is very, very well choice, because he's he really nails when it comes to power metal. He might not be as versatile as Thomas, but if it comes to do power metal drumming, it's 100% his thing. And power metal drumming is what we need in Iron Savior.
Absolutely. And it's hard to believe that the band's been around for almost 25 years. I remember seeing your name pop up when you were always producing great stuff like Gravedigger, you know, the Reaper and all the stuff. Like, I always saw your name pop up, and I always remember people, you know, saying like, oh, this guy used to work with Kai Hansen, and this guy used to have, you know, history with Halloween and all this stuff. But I remember when the first Iron Savior came out, it was kind of weird because it was like on Somewhere Out in Space, Gamma Ray had the same song that was on the Iron Savior album. And and I remember like getting that. It's just hard to believe that was 1996 when that first one came out. And then when Unification came out, that was just one of the best power metal albums ever. I just still to this day love that album and still get confused about why there's like another band song on there. I guess they won some kind of competition, so they made it on the CD or something. That was always a confusing situation. But that's cool that you've been keeping this going for so long. And I mean, now it's like there's so many bands with Iron. I'm trying to do an interview with Martin Steen from Iron Fire. And of course, you know, there's just every time I turn around, there's another band with the name Iron in it. But you actually were Iron when there weren't a whole lot of bands other than Iron Maiden, you know.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's why at this point thought it's okay to have Iron in the name, because there is only Iron Maiden out there. It was exactly the only other band I knew of course, I must say. But that was the only other band I knew who carried the term Iron.
Maybe Iron Angel would have been the other band, but yeah.
And so I thought, okay, Iron Savior sounds awesome, and I will do it.
And the whole sci-fi aspect, the ships and the covers, they were made of iron and steel. And the whole idea is that they were trying to save humanity and bring back the remnant and all that kind of stuff. So it fit the whole theme. So it made sense. But I see these band names now with the iron, and it's just like, come on, you know, lose the iron, lose the steel, lose the dragon. Lose the fire. Come up with something more clever.
Yeah, not to be too picky, but what is an iron fire? What is that?
I don't know. I guess when you make swords or something that takes both iron and fire on the anvil. So maybe, I don't know. What is one I saw the other day? You know what? There's always Iron Butterfly, and then the God of Even. So I guess we have to give them credit.
Exactly. There was Iron Butterfly. So that was the other Iron I knew of. Exactly. Yeah, of Iron Butterfly.
Absolutely. And kudos. I'll go on a tangent. Well, first of all, I saw the other day Iron Trees. And it's like, what's an iron tree? There's a great song by Rush called The Trees, but what's an iron tree? So
a very hard tree. A very, very hard tree made of iron.
Trees, man. Anyway, but on a tangent, I will say,
if you're a very dedicated metal fan, you have iron trees in your garden, you know?
Well, you know, maybe a sculpture of an iron tree.
Along with your iron house sitting on your iron porch. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Your iron chair, watching the iron sun going down on the iron horizon.
Exactly. That's a whole lot of hot metal. Burning steel.
Now, yeah, steel, of course, steel. Yeah, steel is the other word then you need, of course. Of course, you also, for the variety, of course, you maybe have a little hut of steel, you know.
Not a whole lot of metal bands called lead or nickel or dime or, you know. Oh, we're total nickel, man.
No. Yeah.
Anyway, but in another tangent, I have to say,
we're the Wookmen.
I still to this day don't know what an iron butterfly is. And I know in the Garden of Eve, it was in the Garden of Evil or in the Garden of Eden. They can't decide because they were so stoned, but in the God of Vita. But I have to say, in the early 90s, being an American, the only Uriah Heep stuff I knew was what they played on the radio, and it was like the simple stuff, not the really. And when I first heard you guys and Gamma Ray and some of those other bands cover Uriah Heep, you know, I know when Hansi Kirsch and John did the Demons and Wizards, to show my ignorance, I didn't even know there was a Uriah Heep album called Demons and Wizards. And, you know, to listen to those albums now and realize how epic and how influential they were. And I would hear you like covering Nazareth and covering Uriah Heep, and I only knew like, you know, what is it, the cover of Love Hurts, which isn't even a Nazareth song, or the, you know, the what's the bitch song, that Nazareth does. You guys did.
The best for me, the best song Nazareth did this flight tonight.
Yeah, that's what you covered. I'd never heard that.
That's
right,
yeah, of
right.
course, that's what we covered because we only cover the best.
Well, you did a great. You also did a great Uriah Heep cover too, and to show my ignorance, even on the debut by Gamma Ray, they did a Uriah Heep cover. And I still didn't know it was Uriah Heep because, you know, in America, we just had, you know, like, just the simple songs they played by Uriah Heep and the simple songs they played by Nazareth. Yeah, you know, Hair at the
Dog. Uriah Heep cover? What kind of Uriah Heep cover? Weren't they doing a Return to Fantasy cover?
I think I thought you guys did Return to Fantasy.
No, that was Gallery, actually.
That was
Gallery.
All right.
Sure. Gallery did Return to Fantasy. All right, well, not us.
You guys did Nazareth this flight tonight, right?
Yeah, we did Nazareth and a lot of priests and some other stuff.
Yeah, well, all the basic metal bands. Didn't you do a Dio cover too?
What?
A Dio cover or was it Rainbow?
No, it was not exactly Dio. It was Black Sabbath with Dio. It was Neon Knights.
Neon Knights. Okay. All right. Well, I was close.
Did that? Yeah, exactly. Close. Yeah.
My memory is not what it used to be. We actually got to see Last in Line last night and got to meet Vinnie Appice and lots of good pictures of Vivian Campbell, and to hear all those early Dio songs was just incredible. But that's right, you did Neon Knights, that's right. I'm trying not to cheat and trying not to go online and look up this stuff. I'm trying to use my memory.
Yeah, cool.
I'm trying, trust me, I really am. It's not as strong as it used to be. It used to be really, like, I used to be able to be like Eddie Trunk kind of stuff, and now I can't. Blah. But anyway, my point being that I only knew Nazareth, Hair of the Dog from Guns N' Roses. I only knew Nazareth, Razzmanazz from Artillery. By the way, I have no idea what a Razzmanazz is. And I only knew Love Hurts, which they covered, but I didn't know this flight tonight. And the same thing with Uriah Heep when Gamma Ray covered it on their debut. When they did Return to Fantasy, I was not familiar with those songs. You know, only knew the basic stuff. So I want to be thankful to you guys, you wonderful Germans, for reintroducing me to so many great. I know. I guess what Nazareth are Scottish, right?
Nazareth is Scottish.
Yeah, right. So all the great bands from the UK that I somehow missed out on in my childhood, and now there was all the great German power metal bands that helped me discover all those great bands. That was my point that I completely missed. So we should go back to the Iron Garden and the Iron Tree and the Iron Savior with an Iron Butterfly Land.
Yeah. Okay. 5 more minutes we have.
I know. I'm checking my clock. I was going to wrap it up by saying, are we ever going to get like a U.S. tour? I know you played Prague Power, but are we ever going to get like a U.S. tour?
To be honest, touring US is very, very expensive because, first of all, you need to fly us all over there, you know,
right.
And of course this, I would never say never, but I also have to be realistic. It's not a very likely thing to happen, to be honest. Festival is a different thing because, if it's a good one, they usually have more of a budget, you know,
and
they can bring in, and it's also well wanted by the people to have interesting acts also from on an international basis. So that's kind of normal. But you know, Iron Savior flying to the States and doing a club tour. Yeah, I mean, where would we start? I mean, it's probably we could cover one state, you know, but
right. I understand.
The other problem is also that the states are so fucking big.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, we could of course we could fly to New York and then maybe play a couple of shows in the New York area.
Right.
And then go back, but I wouldn't call that a U.S. tour. I mean,
playing in
terms of bringing it down to Germany, it's playing a little bit around of in and outside of Hamburg, you know, and that's
right.
It. I wouldn't call that a German tour then also.
Well, Kai Hansen. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No problem. I was pretty much done.
Well, Kai Hansen and with Gamma Ray and Helloween about 10 years ago toured together the U.S. and it was successful. And now they got the Pumpkins United, which was extremely successful. And I think they played 7 dates in the States. So if you could ever jump on that,
Not for us. That would be something. But as you know, the Pumpkins United, they don't have support acts. They play three hours themselves.
Right, I know. And understandable, because they got so much to play. So, but, well,
yeah,
just a suggestion. Well, Pete, it's always fun to talk to you. I know I got way off topic, and it was kind of fun that you played along for some of it. But once again, fantastic new album, great new songs. Love the videos, especially Stand Up and Fight. That's just brilliant to come up with such a simple, basic, but very true to life video. You know, and don't let anybody criticize you for the simplicity, because it's actually brilliant. Once again, I love the very optimistic lyrics. And I just want to say one thing before we go. We ask you to play one song. We for us to play for you. What song would you suggest we play from the new album?
Well, that's really, I knew that question was coming, and it's really hard for me. It's really, really, really hard, I must admit, because I have to do the same decision right now at this moment, because I'm putting together a new live set, and there's so many songs that I really want to play, and on my list are at least 6 songs from the new album we need to play on stage, so it's going to be quite a dramatic change of for a live set,
right?
Putting in 6 new songs, but that also shows that this is quite a really important album for us,
absolutely,
especially for me. And so, it's I really can't say
the Brian Adams cover. Say?
Brian Adams cover, which is not on the old version. Okay, yeah, that's cool. We do that. No,
if we can find it.
Of course, I mean, I really like the title track "Kill or Get Killed." It's an amazing track, and it really shows what the listener. If you're not familiar with Iron Savior, you listen to "Kill or Get Killed," you at least get a pretty good idea of what could happen in the Iron Savior cosmos.
Amen. That's a good point. All right, we'll go with "Kill or Get Killed." It's the title track. It is an excellent song. It does set off the album, and If you haven't heard Iron Savior, then you're gonna hear an album that blows you away. If you're an Iron Savior fan like most of us, you won't be disappointed in the least. And Pete, I want to thank you again for your time and your energy and your positive. And I remember when I talked to you a couple of years ago, you were saying how you were turning 50. You must be like 55 now, right?
No, not yet. I turned 55 in this year in November. But yeah,
okay.
I'm yeah. Well, I mean, none of us is getting younger. Also me.
54 and a hammer out such a kick-ass album. That's amazing. Kudos for you for that. So
awesome. Thanks.
All right. You take care.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. Bye.
All right, Michael. Have a good one. And well, talk to you probably for the next album, I guess.
Absolutely. Always.
All righty.
Okay,
man.
Bye.
Have fun. Bye-bye. Cheers.
You bet. Auf Wiedersehen.
Wiedersehen. Tschüss.
Far out beyond the void, an ancient tree. genocidal species emerge. Their survival strategy, to wipe out all of the life forms so they would not have to compete for resources. This resulted in total extinction of all other life forms.